The Kickoff on Radio City Talk. Your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.
Neil Atkinson from the Anfield Wrap. Deliver us huge positivity on a massive day for the Reds. I looked at your tweet yesterday. What did you say? You said Tuesday's everything. Everything in your whole life.
Yep, definitely. No shadow
struck
of a doubt.
Struck a chord.
No shadow of a doubt. No, but it has been for ages, and this is one of the... I think that was perhaps slightly detrimental to actually the Swansea game, but there's one thing that we're in this for, and it's to win the Football League, and everything else is fluff. Everything else is around the edges, and this is it. So it comes... I mean, it reminds me a little bit of Arsenal at home, 13-14. Arsenal were 8 points clear of Liverpool that day. Liverpool had beaten Everton 4-0, but then had a disappointing 1-0 draw with West Brom, when you felt as though they were just getting themselves back on the march. And all season, I mean, I know, as ever, I'm the one who bangs this drum, but all season I've been saying this team can win the league. This team can win the league. The reason why is because they could score goals. And if you can score goals, then that is three quarters of the battle, no matter how much the grey-bearded say you keep them out. Just as that, I saw someone tweet yesterday, I think it was Philippa Smallwood, that, you know, for instance, at this stage of the season, Liverpool have conceded one more goal than Leicester did at this stage last season. So, you know, for all the talk of Liverpool's defensive vulnerabilities, and they do have a few, but then practically every side has a few, and it's just about exploiting them and getting them exploited at the right time. So, no, this is everything. You know, as I say, it reminds me of that Arsenal game where we go into Anfield, if they win, they're 11 clear, and it's realistically completely kaput. Liverpool win, and Liverpool don't just win, they play with such verve and style that it effectively almost knocks Arsenal out in this ridiculous way where Arsenal are theoretically 5 points ahead of Liverpool, but Liverpool have just landed a knockout blow. And from that point to the rest of the season, you knew that Liverpool, no matter what else would happen, would finish ahead of Arsenal, and that's how it transpired. So, yeah, I think that and that was another season where there was four or five sides in it, really high points totals. I think Everton finished fifth, really unfortunately, with about 74 points that season, which is a ridiculous number to get and not get into the Champions League. Arsenal, I think, end up on 79 or even 80 and finish in fourth place. Mm. So there's loads and loads of bits that are reminiscent of that. The only thing that's missing is that Liverpool side a week and a half ago I'd put four past Everton and played with tons and tons of style. And this Liverpool side hasn't been playing with tons and tons of style. It's been very much broken up, very frustrating.
What happened in January? I mean, there's lots of critics and snipers out there at the moment trying to give their perception on where it's gone wrong for Liverpool. Where do you see it's fundamentally cracked a little bit?
It's just had tons of games, and I think that's really hurt them. It's just been too many games. It's nine, and I think that you've seen a lot of what was working was the week by week preparation. I think in general, obviously, then in amongst all of their certain players are missing, so it stems. I mean, you can go right the way back to the Sunderland game, which the manager, and maybe just maybe the manager, because he's the sort of manager he is, has maybe let it infect a little bit, but he'd say otherwise if he was here right now. But for instance, he wasn't happy with the timing of the Sunderland game. Liverpool are ahead twice in the Sunderland game and go on and it finishes 2-2, two penalties, hotly contested. And from there, it sort of spirals. Plymouth, he plays a hugely weakened side, and then it's the first leg of the Southampton away League Cup. And that's probably Liverpool's genuinely poorest performance of the season, coupled with a really lethargic start against Swansea. And I think that just those two things have simultaneously, and in amongst there's been the missing of Mane. Henderson's had an injury, which he's clearly carrying and favouring. Matip's been injured. Coutinho's been on the road back. So you've had a situation where the squad isn't as thick, because people say thin, it isn't as thick as it perhaps needs to be. But there's reasons why it's not as thick as it needs to be. It's because earlier in the season, we arguably didn't get enough games into Daniel Sturridge. Earlier in the season, but we wouldn't because we weren't playing enough games. So you'd have ended up with another three or four players. We were looking at going, well, when does he get his game time? When does he get his game time? What's happened is that the answer is January, but you can't plan. Well, I think you can, but I think it's very, very difficult to plan an entire season around the idea of what we might be hectic in January, because all that could have happened is going right the way back in the fourth round of the League Cup. Liverpool could have put a weakened side out against Spurs, as they did, made 10 changes, as they did, and then got beaten by Spurs at Anfield. And then the idea of this ridiculously hectic January, well, it's a lot less hectic. Mm. You're able to play a stronger side against Plymouth because you haven't got Southampton midweek, and then you go from there, and people haven't got one eye on semi-final, second legs and all that sort of stuff. And it's one of the reasons why I'm I'm of the view in
so
general.
So victim of a lack of squad depth, a lack of quality squad depth.
Yeah, but I mean, there is some quality squad depth, and I think it's important not to throw the baby out with the bathwater in that you can end up sort of say deciding that we need to go and buy 9 players in the summer when we don't, because you'd find it, even if you're in the Champions League, you'd find it difficult to work out when they play. I think that all of this is, it's that fine balance, and if you actually look, Man City, who deputises for Aguero, a 19-year-old in Iheanacho, now he tends to put it in the back of the net, but he's not that good a player. A little bit like Origi's been at times for Liverpool this season. And if you go right the way through, you know, Fernando, I think he's rubbish. I think he's absolutely rubbish. And he's the second or third choice holding midfielder for Manchester City. You look at Chelsea, yes, they've got a really strong set of 3 subs. But if you actually look below that, I mean, the side that they played in the Cup at the weekend does really, really well.
Significant changes.
You look at Spurs, if Harry Kane doesn't play, Spurs look an absolute disgrace of a football team, like they haven't got a clue what's going on. Arsenal have hugely missed Cazorla, even though they've got themselves into a decent place in the table. And if you look there, one injury at centre-half and the next one down weakens them profoundly, especially if it's Koscielny. And on we go. On we go. You know, you can look at all the,
not just Liverpool.
No, I think that the only side that you look at.
Are we worse off than those other sides?
Sorry?
Are we worse off than those other sides?
I think we're slightly worse off than those other sides, with the exception of Spurs. And I think if you actually match Liverpool's and Spurs' season in terms of injuries to key men, you can actually see when they've put runs together and when they haven't. But I think everyone else, I think the strongest in this regard is Manchester United, but they've got the most money. They're the biggest club, they've got the most money. But also, there's another part here, which is that I actually think United's first team, in comparison to all those other sides I've just mentioned, isn't as good. So there's less of a drop-off and they've got more options on the one hand. But on the other hand, you know, we went to Anfield and faced them when they were supposedly at their best, when we were missing a few. And they had a couple of chances, but there was nothing to be scared of. It wasn't as though you came out of that thinking, good Lord, they could have absolutely mulled us there. That didn't really happen. There was nothing to be scared of. And so I think that all of this is just, it's the timing of it, it's the way in which it's whipped itself up all around. It's obviously, you know, a bad run becomes a bad run, if you see what I mean, that you can't see these games in isolation. But as I say, Spurs, you know, look at Spurs 6 weeks ago, they were out of everything. Everyone do out of everything. And they're also out of the Champions League, by the way, I hasten to add, partially because of this reason, that they couldn't go on the two fronts at once. And no one's, as I say, I don't think anyone's really particularly equipped to do it to any sort of staggering level. United have got themselves into a League Cup final, all the best lads. I'd rather have our league position. I'd definitely rather have Chelsea's. And so, you know, all of this is...
Have you changed your perception on what they're actually fighting for now?
No, Liverpool. They're fighting for the league. They were always fighting for the league.
And you still believe in your heart.
Yeah, in my heart of hearts,
that is still a challenge that will come in April. You'll still be saying that same mantra.
It's defined by tonight. That's why tonight is everything. If they win tonight, then yeah. If they don't win tonight...
But you firmly believe they will win tonight,
I think they'll win tonight, yeah. I think they'll win tonight, and then I think they're going to have to really pick themselves up for
hold. Why do you think they'll win tonight?
Because I think that they are... If they can get everyone on the pitch, I think they are as good, if not better, than Chelsea. That's straightforward. At Anfield, under the lights, blah, 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 all the obvious stuff. But also because they've sort of got to. That's one of the reasons why. And also, you look at Chelsea's record against the stronger sides, it's pretty poor. They've beaten Spurs, they've lost to Arsenal, they've lost to Liverpool, they've beaten Manchester United, and they got themselves the win at City. But even when they beat, City should have tonked them, absolutely tonked them at the Etihad. They lost at Spurs' ground. Even when Spurs went there in the first place, Spurs should have got in at half-time 1-0, and then you never know. So I'm not looking round at Chelsea going, these lads, they could absolutely murder you. No, they could. I mean, they've got quality. If they turn up and play their absolute, if 4 or 5 of them play their absolute tip-top game and the others are solid, then yes, but Chelsea could win this tonight 2-0 and we could all be, you know, we could all be saying, well, now it's all about a fight for top four, which is the most boring fight in the world. But if 4 or 5 of Liverpool's turn up tip-top and the supporting cast from the bench, which there is, because it'll be some sort of combination of Daniel Sturridge or Mane, or, you know, you'll be able to look at the bench and have 3 or 4 options for the first time in a while. Then you get into a situation where you're saying, well, whose is it then at this stage? You know, how does this work? And then it's 7 points, and then the next game that Chelsea have got is the entertain Arsenal on Saturday morning at 12:30. All right, boys, come on. You go, and then we'll go to Hull. And then you're back into that, and that's where, to me, I think one of the things that's been a bit of a killer is the intensity of the whole thing, because of the way in which everyone's been knocking lumps out of each other up to this stage of the season, that Chelsea have gone at that ridiculous pace and won 13 games. They've won 18 out of 22, which is absolutely phenomenal. Fair play to them. What a really, really good side. But then Liverpool are a really good side. At this stage last season, Liverpool, I think, could either be top or 1 point off top. You know, Liverpool are putting a points total together if they just match the second half of the season, Liverpool break 80 points. And this is something else to remember as well, in amongst all of this chatter and noise, is that Liverpool, Tottenham, Arsenal, they're all on for 80 to 90 point finishes as it stands. 80 to 90 point finishes, which, again, if you want to say to me, what would you take before a ball's kicked in the season? If I said to you, Liverpool get 87 points, you'd say, that's an amazing season. And I'd say, yep. And it still can be an amazing season if they don't win the league. If Chelsea go and get 94 points,
It would still be an incredible return.
What's everyone meant to do?
What about the quality of Liverpool's football in terms of what they're trying to do? A lot of people have had this shout out that opposition teams know how to play against them. So whether it be Plymouth, Southampton, Wolves, Swansea this month, they've all done the same thing to Liverpool.
They have, but
they?
Then if Daniel Sturridge kicks it in the goal from 6 yards, Southampton looked aft. That's straightforward. He's 6 yards out.
Ah, so we've had our chances.
Yeah,
we've had chances in
loads of these games. We've had chances, but you've got to start. I mean, I think you can create slightly better chances. I think we need to be sharper. I think we need to use the width of the pitch a little bit better. You know, there's lots of bits and pieces that Liverpool can improve on. Improve on massively, I'd say. But simultaneously, as you mentioned Southampton there, as I say, if Daniel Sturridge just kicks it in the goal, it's 1-0 Liverpool, and there's 20 minutes to go, and realistically that game only goes one way. So I think Liverpool need to be a little bit more patient. I think they need to believe in the plan a little bit more. I think that there's an issue around that. I think it's the same for all of these managers, with the possible exception of Mourinho, that there is that all of these lads have got plan A and they haven't got plan B, and that's fine, by the way, because you should just keep doing plan A and do it better is absolutely fine.
And that's Liverpool at the moment. They don't do plan B.
But I think where they've had a little bit of an issue is you've seen them begin to look at each other and not believe in plan A. And then if you haven't got plan B, if there isn't the idea, well, the manager's now going to do this, then that becomes difficult because you're all looking at each other going, well, plan A is not really working here, lads. And that's been a little bit of an issue where I think you've seen three or four of them, and I include a couple of the senior players. I think the one who comes out of this period is Henderson, but then I always say that and people get annoyed at me, is that they look and they begin to think, not quite working here. Whereas the best thing they could do is just think this is working.
Mane helps plan A.
Massively,
doesn't he?
Lallana, Coutinho, Firmino and Mane all being on the pitch at the same time helps plan A, because that's plan A and it's purest form.
Well, that's another thing. We've not seen those players on the pitch together since November, have we? Together, no, collectively.
Exactly. So I think that's a big deal. And I think that Liverpool can improve off that. But there's no obvious sort of, this is what happens in football. This is what happens in football teams. 85-86, Kenny's side goes out to the League Cup over two legs against QPR. You know, they go through this period where they don't look great. The point is, it's how you bounce back. Tonight is a great opportunity to bounce back, to find a way to score the first goal in the game and then see. And scoring the first goal in the game is the other thing. You know, for all the talk of, well, they've all done the same thing. Well, yeah, but even when we went to Plymouth and it was a horrible game and it's very much Liverpool's second 11, we went 1-0 up and they had one. They created one really good chance. But apart from that, they didn't create anything, and Liverpool were on top. And the only issue with that is Liverpool didn't counter-attack very well. So they got the goal ahead that they needed, and they didn't counter-attack very well. And I think that's, again, Sunderland, when the legs are all falling off, they played City 2 days before, but they didn't counter-attack quite as well as you'd like. And they've just got to sharpen a little bit to the game up. I'm sure the manager's been working with them on that. But the other thing that'll help is that we get the other side of this Chelsea game, hopefully with a victory, go to Hull, hopefully with a victory, though it'll be really hard at Hull. And then Liverpool are in a situation where they're back to playing one game a week. Tons of time for the manager to work with them. Tons of time to get them fresh.
What I'm really looking forward to tonight is the atmosphere. I think these fixtures create an incredible atmosphere. I know we had a League Cup semi just over a week ago. For me, that didn't create the sort of the environment
that
I wanted.
It was
I think
to
tonight, I know, you know, 10 hours in, I know what sort of atmosphere I'm heading to. I think it's going to be brilliant.
I really hope that's the case. I think that there's a couple of question marks at the moment around bits and pieces. I went to the League Cup game and it was singularly frustrating, I felt.
Wasn't it?
In terms of the atmosphere, I just thought that I don't like to criticise people, so I don't like to criticise people in general, but for me, it didn't feel as though there was enough need knocking around the place. But simultaneously, there was a curious amount of anxiety. There's just got to be, you know, an absolute bear pit tonight for these Chelsea players, and I hope that there is. And also for the Liverpool players, you know, I think in general, there's got to... It's fine to groan when it goes wrong, it's fine to groan when someone misses, but then the next thing's got to be right, cheering, shouting, saying, let's go again, one more, start again. And I think that that's what was missing in the League Cup game. There was lots and lots of groaning. There wasn't much roaring on immediately afterwards to say, it's all right, you've made a mess of that one, let's go again. The back of the cop was great around Sturridge. Sturridge probably got his name sung about as loud as he ever had at Anfield after he missed his third chance, because you could see how devastated he was. But I think that that was a bit of an exception. The rest of the time it was frustrating. It never quite got going. I think it will get going tonight, and if it does, then we've seen in the past the impact that can have. And you know, if we're sitting here talking tomorrow and Chelsea have won the game, then you get to doff your cap and you get to say fair play to them. And realistically, that means at this stage, what their road to the title will probably become a procession, because they've got Chelsea, they've got Arsenal at home at the weekend, and if they get 3 points from Liverpool, I'd expect them to get at least a point from that.
Radio City Talk Breakfast, the kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.